Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear stories from Brian Lynn, Mario Ritter, Pete Musto, Anna Mateo, and Anne Ball. Later, Jill Robbins and Bruce Alpert will have this week's health report. But first, here is Brian Lynn.
Both sides in Spain's dispute with Catalonia are standing firm as Spanish lawmakers prepare for a vote on suspending the area's rights to self-rule. Spain's National Senate is set to vote Friday on whether to enforce direct rule in Catalonia. The government has already put in effect constitutional powers to dismiss Catalan officials and call an election. One pro-independence party is calling for mass civil disobedience across the area to answer the latest Spanish moves. The CUP party has called the central government's actions an aggression against all the people of Catalonia. Pro-independence students called for a strike at Catalan universities on Thursday to urge officials to move forward with a declaration of independence. Catalonia has long sought independence from Spain. The area held an independence referendum on October 1st. Catalan leaders say the results gave them a clear mandate to declare independence. Spain's government and constitutional court declared the referendum illegal. Independence movement leaders said more than 90% of those who voted supported independence. Yet only about 43% of registered voters took part in the election. Several hundred Catalan government officials opposed direct rule from the central government in Madrid. They have asked the area's parliament to vote on a measure rejecting the move. Some teachers and firemen working in the area said they would not recognize Spain's direct rule. A group of Spain's political parties chose 27 senators on Monday to study how the government might intervene in Catalonia. The special commission includes 15 members of Spanish Prime Minister Mariano Rajoy's ruling Popular Party. Six senators were from the leading opposition Socialist Party, with smaller parties sharing the rest. Among possible constitutional measures the group will study is one calling for dismissal of Catalonia's government, led by the pro-independence governor, Carles Puigdemont. The commission is expected to inform Puigdemont of its plans and invite him to defend his case before Friday's vote in Parliament. Prime Minister Rajoy's party holds a parliamentary majority, making it likely the measure will be approved. Rajoy announced government plans last Saturday to remove Governor Puigdemont and begin steps toward direct rule in Catalonia. The Catalonia crisis has led to concerns across the European Union. EU officials fear that similar pro-independence movements could develop in other areas. On Sunday, two of Italy's wealthiest areas, Veneto and Lombardy, held their own autonomy referendums. The presidents of both areas said more than 90% of those who marked ballots wanted more autonomy from the Italian government. Results of the voting were non-binding, but the presidents say the voices of the people will give them more power when officials begin talks with Italian Prime Minister Paolo Gentiloni. Leaders of both regions want to keep more tax money and have a greater say over local education, immigration, security, and the environment. I'm Brian Lynn.
Diplomats from the United States and Turkey are working to ease tensions after disputes led the countries to place visa restrictions on each other. This past weekend, Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan made sharply critical remarks about the U.S. over a diplomatic dispute from the summer. Erdogan was angry that the U.S. had given arrest orders for Turkish security officials in August. He said, "If the United States issues arrest warrants for my 13 bodyguards in a country where I went upon invitation, I am sorry, but I will not say that country is civilized." The warrants were given for officials who were accused of attacking peaceful protesters outside the Turkish embassy in Washington in May. The violence took place during Erdogan's visit to the U.S. Tensions increased earlier this month after Turkey arrested two men who were working for the U.S. diplomatic mission in Turkey. As a result, the U.S. placed visa restrictions on Turkey. One of those facing charges in Turkey is Metin Topuz. He is accused of links to the U.S.-based cleric Fethullah Gulen. Turkey blames Gulen for last year's attempt by some members of the military to seize power. Turkey answered the U.S. travel restrictions by placing visa restrictions of its own on U.S. travelers. Talks about the restrictions took place Thursday. The U.S. State Department called the talks productive. Semi Ediz is with the Al Monitor website. He says Erdogan often gives strong criticisms of Western countries at unexpected times. However, he said the Turkish leader wants to keep good ties with the West as well.
But we must realize that, you know, Erdogan was in New York very recently and had a very chummy meeting with Donald Trump, who called him a special friend. So, you know, Turkey is aware, for all the problems it has with America, too, that it has to tread cautiously.
Observers note that Erdogan's criticisms are linked to Turkey's domestic politics. They say Erdogan is seeking to gain support for the 2019 presidential and general elections. However, U.S. relations with Turkey could be hurt further by another court case involving a Turkish-Iranian businessman, Reza Zarab. Zarab is accused of being involved in secret trade with Iran, which was barred by U.S. law at the time. U.S. government lawyers say the businessman developed a plan involving billions of dollars that permitted Iran to avoid U.S. sanctions. They say a top Turkish state bank employee and a former minister are linked to the case. The United States' support for Syrian Kurdish forces fighting Islamic State militants is another issue that angers Turkish leaders. They say the Syrian Kurdish fighters are linked to Kurdish separatists fighting Turkey. I'm Mario Ritter.
The social media website Facebook and the search engine Google are struggling to ensure that what they present as news is correct. The huge internet companies have been fighting fake news for nearly 1 year. But their efforts have not been as successful as many people would like. The internet services are designed to provide news and information that interests users. Now, people at the companies are finding it is not easy to make sure that this information is truthful. This is especially the case when so-called internet trolls use these websites. Trolls are people who try to make others angry with their posts. And people with harmful plans continuously work to avoid the new controls that the companies put in place to stop them.
Immediately after the mass shooting in Las Vegas in early October, Facebook launched its crisis response page for the event. The page was meant to share helpful information about the attack. But it also shared a false news story that wrongly identified the gunman and claimed he was a politically far-left, mentally sick person. Google's top stories search results shared a similar story from the website 4chan. It also wrongly identified the gunman. The site 4chan is an image board website, which mainly posts images with the most recent postings showing first. It lets its users post things without revealing their identity. One day after the attack, searches for Las Vegas shooting on the video sharing website YouTube, which is owned by Google, showed one video as the fifth result. This video explained a conspiracy theory claiming that several people were involved in the attack. The stories were not true. Police identified the gunman as Stephen Paddock from the American state of Nevada. The reason why he shot at people at the music festival on October 1st is still not known. His attack left 58 people dead and hundreds wounded.
Facebook and Google quickly removed the stories and changed the way stories appeared on their websites. These changes tried to give greater importance to sources of information with stronger knowledge of the events. But the companies still have a lot of work to do. Why do these mostly computer-operated services keep failing to separate truth from lies? One reason is that most internet-based service systems often bring greater attention to posts that get and keep their users interested. This is exactly what a lot of fake news is designed to do. David Carroll is a professor of media design at the Parsons School of Design in New York City. He told the Associated Press that Facebook and Google get caught without warning because their computer programs look for signs of popularity.
That problem is much bigger soon after a disaster, when facts are still unclear and the demand for information is very high. Mandy Jenkins told the Associated Press that people with harmful plans make use of this problem. Jenkins is the head of news at the news and social media research agency, Storyful. They know how the sites work, she said. They know how the media works. Users of 4chan's politically incorrect page often discuss how to deploy fake news strategies, Dan Liebsen told the Associated Press. Liebsen is the vice president of search at the internet advertising company Local SEO Guide. Hours after the deadly attack in Las Vegas, people were talking about it online, supporting their theories. Liebsen said there were people discussing how to get and keep reader interest all night.
More and more people all over the world have been separating themselves from others because of their political beliefs. And this has made the idea of what makes sources of news credible a point of disagreement. Many reporters with the largest and most popular media companies often express opinions about the credibility of different publications. They base their opinions on the history of the publications and how strongly they present facts. But that is a much more complex issue for services seeking to appeal to millions of people, like Facebook and Google. This is especially true given how popular many false news sources are among different political groups. Gateway Pundit, for example, is a website that supports President Donald Trump. It published the false Las Vegas story that Facebook shared. Its reporters also have received an invitation to White House press briefings. And it has more than 620,000 fans on its Facebook page. Earlier this month, Facebook said it is working to fix the issue that led it to share false reports about the Las Vegas shooting. However, it did not say exactly what it planned to do. The company has already taken steps to fight fake news since last December. It now includes fact reviews from outside organizations. It also puts warnings on disputed stories and has taken attention away from false stories on people's social media pages.
News that is developing is especially difficult for computer-operated systems to judge. Google said the 4chan post that wrongly identified the Las Vegas gunman should not have appeared among its top stories. However, it took the computer program that controls Google search results a few hours to replace it. Outside experts said two different issues created problems for Google. First, its top stories program provides results from all of the internet, not only from news agencies. Second, the signals that help Google examine the credibility of a website are not available in breaking news situations.
I'm Pete Musto.
And I'm Anna Mateo.
Witnessing a neutron star violently crash into another has helped astronomers uncover secrets of the universe, including how gold was created. Neutron stars are the collapsed centers of stars. These two neutron stars circled each other at a very fast rate, getting closer and closer. Then they crashed into each other in an event called a kilonova. This collision created a burst of gamma rays, or electromagnetic energy, and gravitational waves, which make a weak signal when they reach Earth. Vicky Calagera is an astrophysicist with Northwestern University near Chicago. She explains what the astronomers heard and saw 2 months ago.
So this is the first time that we hear the death spiral of two neutron stars, and we also see the fireworks that came from the final merger.
What they saw was a bright blue light. The colliding stars released very hot wreckage. All that material, the light and heavy elements, is now speeding through the universe in different directions. Some of the material joined together to form metals like gold, platinum, and uranium. Scientists had thought neutron star collisions had enough power to create heavy elements, but they had not been sure until they observed it. Gravitational waves are very small ripples or movements through space-time in the universe. Albert Einstein was the first person to suggest the existence of such waves. Researchers were first able to observe them with the LIGO detectors in 2015. Earlier this month, three scientists won the 2017 Nobel Prize in Physics for their work measuring gravitational waves. The first gravitational waves ever measured were produced by black holes, which do not let out any light. So they were not seen. The signal arriving on August 17th was a different story. Around the world, astronomers reacted to the signal quickly when they recognized it. They aimed telescopes on every continent and even those orbiting Earth on a distant spot in the sky. This time, there was plenty to see. What they saw was the long-ago and far-away crash of two neutron stars. They were so dense that a teaspoon of their matter would weigh 1 billion tons. It took the signal 130 million light-years to reach Earth, a distance of 9.5 trillion kilometers. The sound and light from the crash told the story of one of the most violent acts in the universe. The ability to see the light from gravitational waves was just one of the mysteries solved, noted Daniel Holes. He is an astrophysicist working at the University of Chicago and one of the more than 4,000 scientists who witnessed the event.
Not only did we detect that, but we detected this burst of gamma rays. That's also never been done before. So we now get to say when two neutron stars crash into each other, they create a gamma ray burst. We get to connect two very mysterious happenings in the universe together. And that's a big deal.
This is helpful information because gamma ray bursts release deadly radiation strong enough to destroy planets. I'm Anne Ball.
Baby talk. It is how many adults, speak to babies, slowly, using shorter sentences, talking at a higher pitch, and putting more emphasis on certain vowels. Examples include, "Where are your shoes?" and, "Oh, this tastes good." New research from Princeton University in New Jersey found something else special about how adults, in this case mothers, speak to their very young children. We found for the first time that mothers shift their vocal timbre, said Elisa Piazza, a postdoctoral researcher at Princeton University's Neuroscience Institute. Timbre is what makes a sound appear different than words or music with the same pitch and loudness.
Piazza added, "Timbre is best defined as the unique quality of a sound. Barry White's silky voice sounds different from Tom Waits' gravelly one, even if they're singing the same note." Using special equipment, Piazza and other Princeton researchers found that mothers shared similar changes in timbre when speaking to babies. Piazza offers this example from the research. First, a mother talking to her baby.
"Oh, a bunny and a mouse."
And here is the same mother talking to an adult.
"He had four teeth coming in at once."
Piazza explains how people change their timbre. Timbre is influenced by your entire vocal tract, from your vocal cords all the way up to your lips, she told VOA. When you move your tongue and lips to make different vowels, ba, bi, bo, you're actually changing timbre, she said.
The researchers tried to capture the sounds mothers used with their babies at home. "We chose to record mothers playing with and reading to their own babies, just like they would at home," Piazza said. She wanted the discussions to be as natural as possible. The research offers new ways to show differences between how adults speak to babies compared to fellow adults. The research was not limited just to English speakers. Researchers listened to discussions in 9 other languages: Mandarin, Polish, Russian, Spanish, Cantonese, German, Hebrew, French, and Hungarian. Piazza said the research can be used to learn more about how people discuss different situations. For example, she said, it could include how people change their timbre when speaking to friends or managers at work, how candidates speak to voters, and how people speak to their boyfriends, girlfriends, and spouses.
The Princeton research follows earlier research on baby talk. In 2014, researchers from the University of Washington and University of Connecticut looked at thousands of verbal discussions between parents and babies. They compared regular speaking voices and baby talk. Patricia Kuhl is co-director of the University of Washington's Institute for Learning and Brain Sciences and a co-author of the Baby Talk Report. She said researchers found that use of baby talk led to better early language development. The more parents emphasized certain vowels, such as in the phrase, "How are you?" and raised the pitch of their voices, the more the one-year-olds babbled, Kuhl said. Babbling, which is making sounds that do not make sense, is considered an early step to word production. I'm Jill Robbins.
And I'm Bruce Alpert.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.